All right, Leviticus chapter 1. Take a look at this. I've got to admit, it was 14 years ago. This is my smaller print Bible. I do wear glasses now. You won't see me in them, but I do wear them. So here we go, Leviticus chapter 10. Now, let me preface this by saying this. There's two boys here, two brothers, right? Nadab and Abihu. Who's familiar with them? Raise your hand if you know who they are. If you don't know who they are, that's okay. You will by tonight. Okay, raise them nice and high. Good. I see all those hands out there. So you know the story, right?
Amen.
Amen. So in chapter 9, I'll just kind of say this. I'm going to roll up my sleeves a little bit because that's what you're supposed to do as a Christian. You're supposed to roll up your sleeves, not be afraid to get dirty in your fancy little suits and everything else, and actually do something for the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. That's why I love Jesus Christ, because he wasn't afraid. As the Bible says, God was manifested in the flesh. He came down here himself to solve your issues and your problems. You realize that, don't you?
Amen.
Because you couldn't do it yourself, and you still can.
That's right.
Amen. But it does require effort. There's something about this Christian life, and this is a side note, I'll get to it in a minute, that a lot of Christians think that just because they're saved, they don't have to put any effort out into life. Why? Do you put effort out in your job?
Yeah.
Sure you do. Of course you do. You put a lot of effort out. But when it comes to the Christian life, the Christian race, your duty, as we'll talk about tonight, you don't put any effort out, or maybe a little bit. Let me ask this question. If you put the same amount of effort into your Christian life as you did in your job, if you could weigh the two, which had more effort? Just asking. Answer your own question. Or maybe the Lord will answer it for you by the end of this message. Amen. So Leviticus chapter 10, we'll read verses 1 through 10. Excuse me. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. Now pause and take a look at that. I want you to put that in the back of your mind that Aaron here, who was Aaron? What did he do a while back with that golden calf? Do you remember that story at all?
Yes,
right? Am I right about that? You know what? He messed up big time, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
And you know what he did, right? He made a false god, and he used strange fire to do it, didn't he? That's no coincidence in that story. Let's take a look here. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. There it is. There's the sons, a generational thing. It says, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire. Excuse me. Now take a look here at Exodus chapter 30, verse 9. I'll preface this strange fire a little bit and what I think it is. Look in your Bibles at Exodus chapter 30 and verse 9. Exodus 30, verse 9 says, ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. I'd like to draw your attention to the beginning, that fifth word there, the fourth word, it says, no strange. In the Bible, turn back to Leviticus 10, if you would, please. In the Bible, what the Lord's talking about is a false god. Is when you have this, you're not supposed to offer any other meat offerings or any other burnt offerings, no other fire. God's fire is holy, folks.
Amen.
You realize that? Holiness is still a part of the Christian life, in case you forgot.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
Amen.
We're supposed to be holy, or at least in this generation. How about we strive? How about we try a little bit, right?
Amen.
I know we're not holy. You're looking at me saying, that dude's not holy, and I'm not. But you ought to strive a little bit, don't you think?
Amen.
Holiness is still a prerequisite for being a Christian, right?
Amen.
And the Lord expects you to put some effort in that department. All right, back to Leviticus chapter 10. And I'll start again. It says, verse 1, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, his. He was responsible for it. Check that out. And put fire thereon, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them. Crispy. Done. Gone. You say, that's pretty harsh. No, it's not. They knew better. Aren't you glad, Christian, tonight that you don't live in the Old Testament?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. I'll say amen for you a little louder. Amen. Because if you're like me, I would have been dead a long time ago for my stupidness and your stupidness, right? Amen.
Amen.
We live in an age of grace, and thank God for it. Still going to give an account. You're not off the hook. You're just not burnt yet, right? That's coming up, maybe. Maybe not. Here we go. And verse 2, and there went out a fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now, these two boys, they seen that before, and I won't go for sake of time, but in chapter 9, they helped their daddy Aaron out with the blood, sprinkling the proper way, and the blood and the incense, and they did all this offering for sin up in chapter 9. Read it when you have time. They knew the right way, but they didn't do it. Let me repeat that. They knew what they were supposed to do, but they did not do it.
Amen.
They traded their duty for dishonesty. And that's what's happening now. This whole message was stirred up when I was thinking about the church. And we got pastors and churches across Newark, across Newcastle, Lower Delaware, even around here. And they're full of a bunch of men making a living teaching a book they don't even believe.
That's right.
And you know what that is? That's dishonest.
That's right.
And they'll just tickle your ears and make you feel good and get your wallet and get your purse. You'll leave there empty. No Bible, no scripture, no mission, no souls, no nothing.
That's right.
Just emptiness. That's very dishonest. That's right. I get very mad about that. I'm called to preach. I'm called to stand up here and put my head down and bark some things out. That's what I'm called to do. You know what? It makes me mad. It angers me when I see that because it's wasted time. There's so many things that could be said and done for Jesus Christ the right way through all these men. Some of them are God called, but they just won't do it.
Right.
And you know the issue in here is tonight, some of you won't get off your lazy tufts either. And you just won't do it.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why don't we have street preaching more in here? Why don't we have more visitation? Why don't someone tonight stand up and say, Brother Joe, this is my wish. This is my prayer. The Lord's convicting me. I need to start with, not me, but whatever. I need to start a visitation program. Do it right. Do it wholeheartedly, right?
Amen.
Make a map. Take some cards. Do something and strategically go after some people and their families.
Amen.
With actually what's a little bit of order. Wouldn't that be nice? I'm going to say a cuss word. You ready? Organization.
Uh-oh.
That's a cuss word because we're just fly-by-night Christians. But you know what? Everything's supposed to be done decently and in order. That's Bible, by the way.
Amen.
That's your duty. As you say, I don't know how to. You know what's on YouTube? You know what's on? Knowledge shall increase. You know what you can be good at today? Anything you want to be.
Yeah.
Anything. You want to learn how to fix a car? Go YouTube it. Mm-hmm. You're going to learn how to put a pin somewhere in transmission? Ask Dave. I know, he's saying be quiet. I'm hurting his business now. Sorry, shut up. That's what he's telling me. But it's true. Let's move on. Verse 3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them. There they are. That come nigh me, come near me, and before all the people I will be glorified. Amen. And Aaron held his peace. You know why? Because it's reap time. Aaron's reaping right there what he sowed years ago with that golden calf and that strange fire, and it's time to pay the piper. And that's what happened. Why? He traded his duty for dishonesty. It's no joke. It's time to step up, folks.
Amen.
You know what I want to do? I want to just put my head down and just push you. Just push. I'm not going to hurt you. I want to push you. I want to push and lead in the right direction. Because you know what will happen if I don't? Some other person will be up here someday, 20 years from now, teaching something else that's not even Bible, out of some book that's not even the King James, with some dance team up here. Is that what you want? That was pretty weak. Is that what you want? I'll be nicer. Is that what you want? Still no response, right? You see what I'm getting at, don't you? Hey, it is a tough crowd, and that's okay. That's fine, because maybe it's getting through. It doesn't bother me a bit. I've been married. Been married 14 years. It doesn't matter. There ain't much I ain't been through, argument-wise or anything. It doesn't bother me a bit. I know this is what God wants me to say tonight, so don't get mad at me. If you're lazy and you're trading your duty for dishonesty, it's your fault. That's not my fault. That's your fault. And you need to get right with God. My conscience is clear tonight. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I got a clear conscience. I got some things right. You know what I said to the Lord tonight? When he put this on my heart again, I went like this. I'm reporting for duty, sir.
Amen.
You give me the opportunity, I'll raise my hand and I'll preach.
Amen.
I don't do it a whole lot. I don't just get up here and just shoot my mouth off because I want to hear myself speak.
Yeah,
I come up here when God lays something on my heart. I'm available. There you go. And usually it's the same day, and I usually get up and I preach. I want God to use me.
Amen.
Not just, I don't want to just hear myself talk. That's the problem. That's the issue. Christians like to hear themselves talk. I don't really care what you have to say. I really don't. I care what God has to say.
Yeah,
you're right with God, raise your hand. If you're not, shut up and sit down, son, because you need to get right with God. This is a serious pulpit. This isn't a game we're playing. You know what this pulpit is for? It's to lead the church. That's his job. It's to lead the church and push and stab. That's what sermon means, right? It's a Latin word, the root. It means what? Stab and thrust, right? It doesn't mean pour some milk on you and make you feel good. That's not what it means. It means push you to make a good decision for Jesus Christ before it's too late, before you go home empty-handed and ashamed for Jesus Christ. Because there's a lot of talent in here. You know that?
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of men with a lot of talent, a lot of grit. Some of you is not so much grit, but God can still use you, and that's all right. It's just true, man. It's just true. It takes time. It takes time. But it doesn't mean you sit on your keister. It doesn't mean you just sit there and do nothing. Amen. Back to the text here. So in verse 3, they get the reap time, Aaron, and the boys, two boys or two brothers, they get burnt. Dad watches it. Verse 4, and Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, and uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, and Moses, as Moses had said. And verse 6, and Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people, but let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. Verse 7, and ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. The Lord means business. Look at that. Aren't you glad you weren't there? I am too. I'm glad I wasn't there. But I'm going to go ahead and push through this message a little bit. The first thing I want to say is the brothers had a duty. And as I had already mentioned, the Christian has a duty.
Amen.
Day in and day out, you have a duty. You have a duty to keep yourself unspotted from the world. You have a duty to keep this wicked thing inside of you called your heart clean.
Amen.
That means less Facebook, less YouTube, less filth. If you're watching to listen to some garbage, you get it right, you get it clean,
yeah.
You get on your knees, you plead the blood of Jesus Christ, you get up a new person, and then you fight not to do it again.
Amen.
And when you fall, which you will, you repeat the process, you get back up, and you take it by faith. You say, I am clean, I am ready to move on.
Amen.
You do that enough time, you get stronger. You do that enough time, and some of those sins won't easily beset you anymore, as
That's
Apostle Paul said.
Amen.
It takes effort and fighting. You know, when I first got saved, I hit myself in the face one time because I was thinking, I don't recommend being stupid, by the way, but I hit myself one time, probably the hardest I've ever been hit because I didn't realize anything. The two natures were bothering me as a young Christian. I punched my radio one time and bloodied my hand all up because I listened to the wrong stuff. That's good. Not to punch the radio, but to be convicted for your sin.
Right.
Don't be stupid. Be smart. I want to be smarter. I know that's an oxymoron. I'm Polish, right? But I want to be, don't laugh. That's not funny. Jay. Hush. Seriously, you ought to strive to be a smart Christian. You ought to strive and say, Lord, I just don't want to stand up and flap my gums. Lord, what will thou have me to do, as Paul said in Acts 9?
Amen.
Lord, what do you want me to do? I'll gladly do it, Lord. I'm reporting for duty, sir.
Amen.
How about it? We can end right there with that thought. That's all you need tonight. Keep it simple. Are you reporting for duty? Some of you, I know you are. Others are halfway in between. Others are so far from that, you're not even funny. There's probably three main categories right there. You fall into one of those categories. Which is it? You know. You know in your heart of hearts right now, you've heard me yap my gums long enough. You know exactly what's going on in your heart. You know exactly you're standing before Jesus Christ tonight. I can see it on your faces. You know that you know. You don't have to stay there.
That's right.
You don't have to stay in the category you don't belong in.
Amen.
You know what you need to do? You need to make some trades in your life. You need to trade up some dishonest things for some honest things.
Amen.
That's what a Christian needs to do. Do you realize that?
Amen.
If you would just trade up some of that filth that you know you ain't supposed to mess with, set yourself aside like it says in Romans 12:1, maybe we'll get to it, maybe we won't, but you're supposed to do what? Offer yourself as a reasonable sacrifice. Isn't that what it says? Reasonable service, right? By the way, that's removed in the NIV. Why are they taking that out? Somebody don't want you to know that. NAV, NIV, NASV, all those, RSV, they take that out. Why? They don't want you to get strong. That's why. They don't want you to have any kind of strength. That's why the devil takes the word of God from you.
Right.
But moving back on here, you have a duty. You have a duty in a prayer life. You have a duty to read the word of God. Now look, God will take 5 minutes of your life with purpose and prayer and 30 minutes in vain. You know that? God's not interested in some long, historical biography of praying on your knees for 6 hours. You couldn't do it anyway if you tried. But listen, he'll take 5 minutes with a good heart.
Amen.
You hear me? God will take quality every time. Do you have any good quality to give God, by the way? Do you? You know why you don't? Because you have some dishonest things inside that are going on, in your heart and in your mind.
Yeah.
When you're not right with God and you're dishonest, you are very ineffective.
That's
do you know that? And you feel it.
That's
so
right.
How do you know all this? You're hurting me. Because I'm talking to me. I've been there, and I'll be there again. And it'll be my responsibility to clean myself up and get up and do what I'm supposed to do for God. That's my job. There's not a man that's going to stand up here and say, oh, I got it all figured out. No, you do not. You're a liar. The Bible calls you a liar.
Amen.
He that sinneth not, right? 1 John, right? You're a liar. So back to this thing here. Christian has a duty to be faithful. Not only that, back in Leviticus chapter 10, the two brothers were dishonest. They offered strange fire. They went against God's word, their commandment. They knew their duty, but they exchanged it for dishonesty. In 2 Samuel 11, you could turn there. You already know where I'm going if you know your Bible. But in 2 Samuel chapter 11, I'm not getting on David, except in this one time here. He messed up good, didn't he? And if you know your Bible, you know what he did, right? Nobody's saying anything. Why is that? Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Amen. Participation's great. Isn't it? Nobody wants to participate in Brother Joe. I'm getting some feelings hurt now. What would you say? Amen. So anyway, so 2 Samuel, let me turn there. We know what it says, right? 2 Samuel chapter 11, I said, right? All right, so 2 Samuel chapter 11, King David's there. And the Bible says, and it came to pass. Some time went by. After the year was expired, at the time which king go forth to battle. I like that right there. To battle. I like battles. I like fighting. That David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbath. But, there it is, David tarried still at Jerusalem. David traded his duty for dishonesty, didn't he? He was up on that roof. He was looking at something he wasn't supposed to be looking at. And you know what he did is he didn't do it. And if you turn your Bibles, for sake of time, we'll go ahead and I'll just tell you about it. There's another verse where somebody came, and it might have been his cousin or his uncle or something, but somebody who was close to David came up, and there was a small voice and said, David, you know you're not supposed to do that. And you know what David did?
Yeah.
That's what he did.
Right.
And that's what you do when God speaks to you sometimes, isn't it? You just stick your fingers in your ears and move on, don't you? Because you're busy and you got to go to work and you got to do. I understand those things, but I'm just saying, what David did was he traded his duty for dishonesty. He should have been out in the front. He should have been leading, and it got him in trouble. You know why Pastor Ryman is so busy? And he's told me this before, and he won't mind me saying this. He goes out. He's always working on something. He's always doing something. It's harder to hit a moving target, and because of a wicked past life. And when you're busy doing something for God, if you're busy flowing, doing something in life, you're less prone to get yourself in trouble. I see a lot of young men out here shaking their head and saying, you're right. That is right. I know it. So when you sit there with your little iPhone and get in dark and looking at stuff you ain't supposed to look at, you know what happens?
Yeah.
You're really ineffective. And it's just like a snowball rolling down a hill, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I'll tell you what it leads to.
Yeah.
It leads to some really wicked stuff, including suicide.
Because
you get so overburdened, so overwhelmed with the burden of sin on your back that you've been looking at stuff and doing stuff you ain't supposed to be doing, that it just crushes your conscience. Instead of getting right with God, you'll do something drastic.
That's right.
That's what happens. I've been there. I've seen it. You don't have to be like that.
That's right.
You're going to have an opportunity tonight to get right with God. Let's just put it, I believe in being simple.
Amen.
I'm going to give you an opportunity here in about 8 minutes. So set your clock. You can go to the bathroom if you want at that point. You can go outside in the car and pretend you've got to go to work, whatever you got to do. But in about 8 minutes, I'm going to open up the altar. I'll ask Jesse to play something if he doesn't mind. And I'll very nicely, as polished as I can, I'll be nice, I promise. I'm going to ask you to get right with God. It's pretty simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
Some of you, I can see some of you already have gone like this. I can see it in your heart. You're already doing this. Why? Why? Nobody can answer that, can they? Because you don't want to do it. You're afraid? What are you afraid of? Now, if you live back in those days, I would be afraid.
Right.
I'd be definitely afraid. God is not going to light you up. He might, but generally speaking, he doesn't do that. Generally speaking, he puts his arms out, and he'll knock a bunch of times, and he'll ask a bunch of questions, and then the Lord is gentle. He's more gentle than me, maybe, and he might even, you know, depending on where you're at in your life, he'll come up gently, and then he'll come up rougher, then he'll discipline you, and then he'll try it all over again. And he'll give you time and time and time, and then one day, he's just going to go like this, and take his hands off you and let you run your life into the dirt.
That's
how the Lord works. That's what the Bible teaches us if you read your Bible. That's called dishonesty. Because where the Lord is holy and you're not holy. You got to cleanse yourself and get clean.
That's right.
Amen. So we'll go ahead back here. And like I mentioned a little bit, just before David traded his duty for dishonesty, that small little voice went off. That's your conscience. That's in the book of Romans. You know how a sodomite gets the way he is? And I'll just be frank. I won't be explicit, but I'll be frank. Because he denies his conscience.
That's right. Exactly right.
And do you know how you get into trouble you get into? Because you deny your conscience. And the Bible says that's the Ten Commandments of God that's written on your heart, on a lost person's heart and on your heart. It's in there, and God speaks through that word of God that he wrote on your heart, and he tells you, hey, you shouldn't do that. Hey, don't look at that. Hey, why'd you say that?
Yeah.
Hey, why aren't you doing this or that? That's how it works, folks.
Amen.
And if you're saved, you can shake your head, amen, not because it's me, because that's the way it works. It's not a mystery. There are some things that are very mysterious in the book, but it's not a mystery to try to have a victorious Christian life. Do you know that?
Right. Right.
Anybody can do it.
Amen.
At least a time or two, you'll fall, but then you'll get back up. You can have victory in your life. Do you know that?
Amen.
You can be honest. You can be moral. You can have a clean conscience and be right with God and do something for him and have joy, like the Bible says.
That's right.
You know why you're miserable? Because you're not doing right. How simple is that? That's why you're miserable, because you're just not doing right. And you know it. And the people around you know it. Your mom knows it. Your dad knows it. You're just not right. I'm not against you, folks. I'm for you.
Amen.
This is what God wanted you to hear tonight. I don't know why, but here it is. Now, my job is easy. I'll sleep like a baby tonight because my burden's lifted. How about yours?
Yeah.
We got about 4 or 5 minutes. I'll be respectful for time. And you're going to have an opportunity to get something right with God. I'm not saying God's going to burn you up. I'm just saying that you ought to do it because it's right. What if the Lord comes back tomorrow,
amen,
and takes this church out of here? I hope he does it right now. And all you guys that are giving me the evil looks, you can keep looking at each other as we're leaving, right? Because you're going to be left behind. And guess what's going to happen? It's hell on earth. That's what's going to come. But if you're saved and you go up, you're going to have to give an account of yourself. You're going to have to give an account of your actions to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say, sorry, Lord, for whatever it is that I have to say I'm sorry for. I don't want to know your dirty sins. Don't ask me about mine. But here's what I'm going to say. Lord, I'm sorry, but I tried. I tried to get the thing clean in my life. You know my heart, Lord. You know I tried. That's a good thing. That brings peace.
Yes,
amen. It really does. It does. So today's Christians no different. Many things in this world will pull you away from serving Jesus Christ, and I'm guilty of it. My job is very, very demanding, but it demands an enormous responsibility from me, which I thank God for it, because it's changed who I am. It's really changed who I am. I have such a heavy responsibility and heavy the things that I have to be responsible for now. And if you would have asked me 10 years ago, I would have said there ain't no way I'd ever get to that point. And you know what? It's just the Lord. And you know what the Lord will do? He'll give you more and more and more as you're faithful.
Right.
As you're cleaning your life up, he'll give you a little bit more. And as you get, as you trade some of that dishonest thing in your life for some duty and be willing to serve him with him, he'll just give you a little bit more. You think Pastor Ryman just showed up and all of a sudden he was a pastor? Yeah, right. It took years to become a good pastor. Years for God to make someone into somebody he can use. But you know where it starts? Tonight with this first step. That's where it starts. And if you don't make a step to get right with God, that's your fault. It's not my fault. I've done what I'm supposed to do tonight. It's your fault. You got the ladies' meeting coming up. Maybe some ladies need to come up here.
Amen.
You want to get rid of some of this grudging stuff in your. I'm gonna tell you this. A woman's scorn ain't no joke. You know what I'm trying to tell you? A woman will hold on to something like a squirrel with that precious nut. You ain't getting it off of them. A woman will hold on to something in her heart, whether it's little, whether it's big. Maybe you're justified, maybe you're not. Don't get mad at me. I'm just explaining how it works from a man's perspective. A woman will hold on to a root of bitterness like no other, like no other. And God himself cannot shake that tree sometimes.
That's right.
I've seen women 20, 30 years hold on to some bitter things in their heart, and they won't budge.
Yep.
They'll hear the best preaching, they'll hear the best sermons, the best music, and they won't budge. When a woman gets something hard and it's stuck in her heart, it's like, it takes an act of God to get it out.
That's right.
It really does.
Amen,
imagine what God could do with you if you would just get it out. You see, I can't get it out, but the Lord can.
That's right.
You say, I'm having issues. Yeah, the Lord knows. You say, I just can't do it. But God can. God can do it. But you got to do the work. You got to make an effort to do something. You can't just sit there like a spoiled brat Christian and say, God, go ahead and fix me. No. No, it doesn't work that way. Transmission don't fix itself, folks, does it, Dave?
That's right.
Starter ain't going to fix itself, is it? Oil ain't going to change itself, is it? It requires work. And you know what you got an opportunity here in about 3 minutes to do? Get to work.
Amen.
You got to work on yourself first. You can't help somebody else. And Jesus had a verse for this, didn't he? About the mote in your own eye and all that stuff. Didn't Jesus talk about that? You remember that, right?
Amen.
Don't be a hypocrite. You can't help nobody else and be a super Christian if you got issues of your own. You need to be working. I didn't say you have to be perfect. Amen? You better be working on them. And you have an opportunity in about 90 seconds to do something about that.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm just not going up there. Suit yourself. I'm not worried about it. I want you to, don't get me wrong, I want you to get things right. And believe me, I don't press for altar calls, but for some reason I knew that the Lord wanted me to do this tonight.
Amen.
You know who that is, don't you? Say, no, I know who this is. That's my brother. And I put this on the pulpit tonight to remind me. He traded his duty for dishonesty. Heroin needles in his arms, dying, coming back to life. Go ahead and take a look at that picture if you can see it. He's got three little kids now that have no daddy, no money, and they're lost. He's a professing Christian, by the way, folks. You say, really? Absolutely. You say, what did he do? He traded something good for something dirty. How about it? Why don't you come on up here tonight? Why don't you take the step? Why don't you forget about your pride? Nobody really cares anyway. Why don't you make a step for God to do something in your life tonight? Now, I'm not saying it has to be a big, huge sin, but whatever the Lord's dealing with you in your life, why don't you take a step?
Yeah.